Thank you everyone for being here. So we have Parsha Zachor in just over 2 weeks away from now. Vayakel, Pekudei, and then we have Zachor. So I just wanted to go and explore basically as many different issues as we can relating to Zachor, and we'll see how much we get through. We may or may not get through the whole source sheet, but there's really a lot to talk about. So let's get started. We'll see where that takes us. So the mitzvah of Parsha Zachor, which we're going to have in a few weeks, is not clear at all that we're supposed to do what we do. So what do I mean by that? If you look in the psukim, which we're going to read, so the psukim say two things. Where you'll see already the bold and the underline. But it says, remember what Amalek did to you on the derech when you were leaving Egypt. These psukim should sound very familiar to you because we put a lot of excitement into them. So they, you know, attacked us while we were weak, we were tired, and they did not fear God. Once you go and are set up in Eretz Yisrael, wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from under the Shemaim, lo tishkach, do not forget. So the major question here is, the Gemara deals with it, but what is the difference between Zachor and lo tishkach? We start off by saying, remember what Amalek did to you, and also don't forget. So is there a difference between those two things? So you don't have to guess, because the Gemara is going to actually tell you. The Gemara says in Source 2, Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yuches, it says, Zachor yachol b'lev. So Zachor would tell us to remember. They would think, remember, just in your heart, think to yourself, oh, you know, that Amalek, we really don't like them. Keshu omer lo tishkach, hare shichachas halev amor. But it already said lo tishkach, which tells you not to forget. So I already know that in my heart I should remember. So ha ma'ani mekayim zachor. What then does the first word of zachor come and teach me? So it says bepeh. So the Gemara darshins that if it had just said lo tishkach, I would have said, okay, never forget. I don't know, write on your calendar a little reminder for yourself. Amalek was very evil to us. But then because it says zachor also, so that teaches us that you're supposed to do something bepeh. That's all it says. So is bepeh something which... how do you fulfill bepeh? Bepeh didn't say read these psukim. It just says do some sort of remembrance with your words. So what does that mean? So if you look at the Ramban and the Rambam, you'll be surprised, but they make no mention of this whole Parsha Zachor thing, which we do every week before Shabbos, before Purim. If you look at the Ramban in Source 3, he says, V'anachun be'inai. He's talking on the psukim in Kiseitze, which we just read. He says, what I think is the correct pshat and what these psukim mean is, Shehu lomar, shelo tishkach ma she'asa lanu Amalek, ad shenimcha es shemo mitach ha-shamayim. We are not supposed to forget what they did until we wipe them out. It is some sort of remembrance to remind us never stop fighting this fight. Unisaper ze levaneinu l'doroseinu, and we should go and tell this over to our children's, to our children, and to the upcoming generations. Lomar lahem, kach asalanu harasha, this is what that evil nation did to us. L'kach nitzavinu l'mchos ha-shemo, this is why we are told to wipe them out. We're told to wipe them out because what they did to us was very evil. A very important hashkafic topic, which I'm probably not going to get into, but why do we have to wipe out the children, the great-grandchildren, the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of Amalek? They are totally different people than the ones who did something so terrible to us way back when. That's a very important question. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has an article on that. Rav Tursky has something else. So maybe we'll save that for another time. But whatever reason, we have to go and wipe them out based on the rishus of their great-great-grandparents. And so we're just supposed to tell our children. According to Ramban, the mitzvah is bepeh. You're supposed to use your words. Tell your kids. Tell the next generation. Tell the people who don't know. Hey, Amalek, what they did to us is really bad. Don't forget it. We have to wipe them out. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say the same thing, a little bit of a different twist, but the same general point. He says, Hish tzivanu, this is in his mitzvah sasein, his sefer mitzvos. He says, Hish tzivanu lizkor masha asalanu Amalek behaktimo lehiralanu. So he commanded us to remember that which Amalek did to us when they preemptively attacked us in an evil way. I'm supposed to hate them with in every single moment, every single generation. So he says, what's the mitzvah of bepeh? He says, we're supposed to go and spur ourselves with ma'amarim. We're supposed to use our words to spur ourselves to fight. If you just think things so, you don't really have the real... you know, the real zeal to go and do something. But if you use words, you go and convince yourself, you go and, you know, have speeches about this kind of thing. So that's how you will, lead the war effort. We have to go and, again, spur the nation to go and hate Amalek. Ad shelo tishkach hamitzvah v'lo techelash sinaso v'techzar me'anefashu simor chazman. Naturally, what happens is people end up forgetting. People lose their excitement for something, their awareness of something. So we have to go and talk about it in order to go and remind them. And then he goes on and says, and that's what the Gemara says when it says b'peh. Okay, so if you look at the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Sefer HaChinuch, which I didn't put on the source sheet, the Sefer HaChinuch always, in his introduction, he says, I'm just writing down what the Rambam and the Ramban say. So if they agree to something, you can bet the Sefer HaChinuch is going to say it. And in fact, he does. He says, this is mitzvah, just to say stuff to go and remember Amalek. So the Chachmei Ashkenaz, though, disagree. Tosfos, the Ashkenazim, Tosfos in many places, and the Rosh in Brachos, they disagree, and that seems to be something very fundamental. I'll show you the Gemara. It's a very interesting Gemara, where we see at least that the Rosh disagrees. I didn't put Tosfos on the source sheet. You'll have to trust me on that. But the story goes as follows. It's in Brachos on Daf Mem Zayin Omebeis. Maisa b'Reb Eliezer. So there's a story with Reb Eliezer. Shenichnas leveis haknesses velo matza asara. He comes to Shul, and I'm sure that never happens over here, but he can't find, there's no minion. There's only nine people over there. So what? Nine men. Excuse me. Thank you very much for the correction. There's only nine adult men above the age of 13. Okay. So v'shichru avdo v'shlimu lasar. So what do you do? He had an eved k'naini. So an eved k'naini does not count towards the minion, but if you free an eved k'naini, so they become a Jew, a Jewish male above the age of 13. And so right there, you have a minion. So what did he do? He freed this Eved Knani, and he made a minion. Okay, so that's an expensive minion which he made, whatever it was worth at the time. So he no longer has his Eved, but he has a minion. Great. So here's the problem. The Gemara says, Shechre in lo shechre lo. Okay, the next few lines are not really, the next six words are not really relevant to us. I'm just going to skip to the Vehechi Avid Hachi. The Gemara says, wait a moment, how could he do that? The Hamar of Yehuda kol meshachar avdo over be'aseh. Shnemar, the Dalit should not be there. La'olam bahem ta'avodah. The Pasuk says, and this is also another hashkafic conversation which I'm going to hold off on getting into, but the Torah actually says you're not allowed to go and free a Kanani slave. So if you have a Kanani slave, what do you mean he just went ahead and freed him? That means Rabbi Lazar just violated an Isser D'Oraisa of La'olam bahem ta'avodah in order to make a minion. Yeah?
If we're not supposed to be allowed to free a Kanani slave, then how come the principle that if you free a Kanani slave, you become a Jew?
Why, in principle, does an Eved Knani become a Jew when you free them?
No, that's a whole other question, which I'd be interested to hear the answer to, but if you're not allowed to free them, why would that principle exist?
Good, so you're not allowed to free them, except under very specific circumstances, like we'll see in a moment, this circumstance is one of them. Another one is, let's say you injure your Eved Knani, so built into the protections of an Eved Knani is if you end up wiping out one of their Evarim, you ruin a limb of theirs, so they're going to go free. When they go free, what happens to them? So they automatically become Jewish. Why that is a great question, but I'm going to hold off on it for a moment. So how could he do it? There's this Isser to go and free an Eved Knani. So the Gemara says, and jumping to the conclusion of the Gemara, mitzvah derabim shai, that this was a mitzvah derabim, this was a communal mitzvah. The mitzvah of minyan is so important. We'll have to see why that's so important. But the mitzvah of minyan is so important that he was allowed to go and free his slave. So the problem is that the Isser is an Isser d'oraisa. L'olam b'hem t'avodu is a pasuk. Minyan is minyan in mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's a d'rabbanan. That's why we have a problem, right? So minyan, to daven with a minyan, is a very, very important d'rabbanan. We are very, very much a fan of davening with a minyan. But the simple explanation is that minyan is not something which is d'oraisa. So how can you go and violate Mr. d'oraisa to go and do a mitzvah d'rabbanan? That's a little strange. So that's one thing which the Rishonim all deal with. The Rush kind of, he deals with that question, and he says maybe there's some sort of d'oraisa component, and he sticks with it. He says there must be some sort of d'oraisa component to minyan. There's this idea of v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It is some sort of assay of the public, and he throws in a line just, you know, as a total side point. He's not even trying to talk about this, but if you jump to the bold, he says, why am I not telling you something else? Why am I not telling you? Delomi stamber li demairi b'asara d'oraisa kigon likros parsha zachor shehumina Torah. What I'm not going to tell you is that the case was it was parsha zachor. Maybe you'll want to say, oh, it must have been Parsha Zachor. They needed a minion for Parsha Zachor, which is D'oraisa. And the Rosh kind of throws that aside, and he says, and the reason why I don't want to say that is D'mashma D'vachol Inyan Airi, it sounds like this was some story which just was, in any case, you needed a minion, you'd be allowed to go and do this. It wasn't something specific to Zachor. But what you see from the Rosh is that reading Parsha Zachor specifically, and he throws in with a minion, would be a D'oraisa. Tosfos holds the same thing. So, just to summarize what we have right now, the Rambam and the Ramban say we should talk about it. Tosfos, the Rosh, say we have to actually read this thing called Parshas Zachor. They're both going to agree that when we read Parshas Zachor, we're doing the mitzvah, meaning we are still talking about it when we read Parshas Zachor. But the question is, do we have to read Parshas Zachor, or is Parshas Zachor just one way of doing the mitzvah? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit, there's one Shulchan Aruch which is unclear, but there's another Shulchan Aruch, which is also a fascinating Shulchan Aruch. Do we talk and learn during Kriyas HaTorah? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. If someone's leaning, can I go and do my Shnai Mikra? Can I go and read a Gemara, etc.? So the Gemara said, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Kevan shehischil hakori likros b'sefer Torah, the moment that the laner starts reading, Bayakal Pekudei, Bar Mitzvah Parsha, whatever is going on, so then also the Saper afil b'divrei Torah. You're not allowed to talk at all, even divrei Torah, afil ben gavra l'gavra. You can't speak divrei Torah, even in between one aliyah and the next. You're not allowed to speak about anything. Then he goes on in that some people disagree. The yesh machim ligros perish, which means lilmod belachash. Some people say you're allowed to learn quietly. The yesh omim shim yesh asara detzaisi, which means that they're paying attention l'sefer Torah, mutar l'saper b'divrei Torah. He quotes other heterim, which are very exciting. You could maybe do some learning. You could maybe, as long as 10 people are paying attention, it's okay. Mishnah Berurah says we don't rely on any of this. So if someone's laning, you pay attention to the laner. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, even for all these mekilim, even for everyone, all these people who are mekil, v'chol ze eino inin l'parshas Zachor, parshas Parah. Everything I said is not true when it comes to parshas Zachor, parshas Parah. Shehem be'asara midi'oraisa. Because those things require 10 men over the age of 13. Midi'oraisa. Shetzarech lechavin l'shal m'piyakorah. That is a mitzvah de'oraisa. We all have to go and do that. And therefore, it's non-negotiable. You can't learn during that time because you're going to lose your mitzvah de'oraisa. So the way we pass in the Chumrah is it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. Makes a big difference. What are some nafkaminas of it being de'oraisa? Why do we care if it's de'oraisa or derabban in Parshas Zachor? So anyone want to tell me the most famous Chumrah in Parshas Zachor we have?
A 13-year-old shouldn't lean.
Okay, that's very good. So that was last week's, that's one of them. So number one, a 13-year-old should not lean. We only rely on a 13-year-old boy being a bar mitzvah for derabbanans until he actually has beard hair, basically. So we're not certain that he's actually reached the age of puberty. There's ways of checking, but we're not going to do that. So we won't rely on the chazakah that he has reached maturity for anything which is de'oraisa. So we don't allow 13-year-olds, and theoretically, I think even 14-year-olds, etc., to go and lane Parshas Zachor. That's one. Number two, we do something
fun. We repeat the same pasuk.
Ah, good. We repeat the same pasuk. So which pasuk?
Because people think the word is
Zachar
and they're wrong.
Yes. So, because one more time, because people think
the word is Zachar and they're wrong.
Because some people think that the word is Zachar and they're wrong. Good. So is that like a diktuk thing? I would love to hear. Good. So what's this? We repeat the same pasuk again, which we see going back to source number one. The Timche es Zecher Amalek or Timche es Zecher Amalek is a whole discussion. What that is. So where'd that whole discussion come from? So there was a sefer called Plug for Grammar Chabura, where you're talking about that this week? Oh, okay. So, and you're saying grammatically that's certain.
Meaning there are words of a similar form where it would show up as Zechar, but the word is Zechar.
But the word is Zechar. Okay, so what happened here?
Zechar 2 weeks early.
What?
Why is everybody doing Zechar 2 weeks early?
No, we were just talking about Zechar because that was what we're talking
about. Well, if you do it again too close, you don't want to have an overload. I assume everyone's going to go and review this shir three times over before part of Zechar. So that's why we have to go and have it. Okay, that's very exciting. Okay, fine. So that's even the diktuk chabura. Fine. So what happened with this whole zecher business? So the answer is probably all of Klal Yisrael was saying zecher for a very long time, and because it's right. I don't know that, but that's what I hear. I hear that it's right. And then came along a sefer called the Maisa Rav. The Maisa Rav is a sefer written by one of the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim. And he says, in the sefer, I think I actually put out the quote on my own sheets, not on yours, but he says, Kishu Kore, when the, and he, all the Maisa Rav does, it records what did the Vilna Gaon do. All the Hanhagos of the Gra, every little thing he did, if it were just the Maisa Rav, it would be this tiny little booklet, it's really not that long at all, but then there's Perushim and Perushim and Perushim on this, because it's very exciting whenever the Vilna Gaon did anything. So in it, it says just a one-liner, Kishu Kore Parsha Zachor, Kore Zecher, or Zecher, excuse me, now it's Zecher, Besegel Tachas Hazayin. He would read it with a segel, a E, instead of a Tzere, instead of an A, so he would read it with a segel. So the Mishnah Berurah says, look, it's probably Zecher. But the Maaser Rav said, the way that the Gra and the Gra knew what he was doing, said Zecher. If you look in the introduction, in the Hakdama to some of the Maaser Ravs, they have a letter from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the Vilna Gaon's, probably his star Talmud. And he says, I agree with everything you said in this beautiful little pamphlet. There's one thing which was wrong. He says, you guys say that he would say it with Shesh Nekudos, two segels one after the other. Ani shamati mipek kadosh shekar b'chamesh nekudos. I heard from him on Parsha Zachor, he would read it with five nekudos, with the tzeire first, the A, and then the segel afterwards, zeicher. That's how So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, I'm sure you guys are wrong. He says, maybe he changed since I heard him. But if he didn't change, so then you guys are incorrect about this. So because the Maaser Rav said that the Gra would say it zeicher, it would say it zecher, so Mishnah Berurah says, you know what, this is deoraisa. Make sure you do it correctly. Get every single little nekuda right. So we do zecher, and then we do zecher, or zecher, and then zecher. And all the... You do the wrong one first, and then fix it. Some achronim say, it sounds like you're fixing it, so if really zecher is the right one, so make sure you're changing to the one which we really think is right. Okay, but that's where that comes from. For the same reason, so that's probably chumra number two, that it's deoraisa. For the same reason, all the achronim, everyone that I've ever seen in print, says you should be make sure you hear Parsha Zachor from the Havara which you come from. So if you are a Sfardi, says Rav Ovadia, you should certainly be hearing Parsha Zachor from someone who pronounces the laning in a Sfardi Miftah, with the ayins maybe, and the Hetz. I don't know exactly what specifically parts they are. And Ashkenazim should be hearing it from someone who pronounces, everyone gets very excited about the Kamatz and the Patach, because Shem Hashem is different. So you should hear it from someone who pronounced it the way which you hear, which you regularly speak. We don't do that by all of laning. All of laning is Derabbanan. We are not this Machbid. We are not that intense about it. But Parsha Zachor, we get very, very excited about.
What? We do that here, don't we?
We do a Sfardi one.
You do a Sfardi one. Okay, good. So I'm not saying anything I shouldn't be saying. That's good. Okay, good. I mentioned this in one of the Hashkama Shurim, but in KBY, I think they read like 17 Parsha Zachors in every single possible way that you could say Parsha Zachor. Again, only in KBY. It's something you don't forget, though, that's for sure. At some point, I started spacing out, so I hope that was okay. Fine. Let's move on. Yeah. So Sfardim don't make a difference between a tzeir and a segel, so it's basically irrelevant to them. They're like laughing the whole time at us, you know. So they just I think do one version and then they move on with their day. So the second question I want to address, and this is going to connect to some other things we're going to see very shortly, is can you read a different parsha which talks about Amalek? Right. So the parsha which we read in Kisetze is really a command to remember what they did to us. But it doesn't actually say what they did to us. It's not the story of what happened. The story of what happened is at the end of Beshalach. I gave you the psukim in source 8. You know, they attacked us. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. And Moshe says to Yeshua, go and fight them. And, Moshe raises his hands. And when they look at his hands, so they'd win. When they didn't, he'd lose. And then I'll just jump maybe to the last psukim over here. So in Pasuk Yudalad, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. Write this down in the sefer. V'sim b'yozne Yeshua ki machom zecher amalek. I'm going to wipe out the remembrance of Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim, underneath the heavens. Vayivin Moshe mizbeach, vayikra Hashem al-Hashem yisi. Okay, Moshe built his mizbeach. God is going to fight this battle basically forever. So the question is, can I read that parsha? And this, believe it or not, why do you care? Because don't you have Parsha Zachor? So it actually is very relevant a lot. Say again? Right. So if someone misses Shul. So on Purim, the Kriya Satorah which we do is this Kriya Satorah. We also just had Beshalach. But if you miss Parsha Zachor, you have potentially a second opportunity to talk about the actual Parsha Zachor. It happens all the time in the army. There's chuvas and chuvas and chuvas about this, in Tzahal. So they sometimes, they can't hear Parsha Zachor because things are a little crazy. But they'll be able to, for Purim, they'll have Kriyas HaTorah. Are they Yotzi that way? Same thing with COVID. This was a big deal. People had to quarantine, etc. Maybe they couldn't come to Parsha Zachor. They could come to Purim. Would you be able to go and read the this Parsha? Any thoughts before I... Let everyone know.
Well, I thought I heard that they literally make it up on Purim. You can make it up during the regular parsha. Like you can make it up throughout the year. I don't know if that's correct, but that's correct.
Right. So potentially you could make it up throughout the year. Right. So you're saying the correct parsha, though. Meaning, could you?
Emperor.
That's an important point. Meaning, there's nothing special. It's an important point. There's nothing special about the time we read Parsha Zachor. It's true. We get to Shul and we. we lay in Parshas Zachor, but there's no, it's not like a mitzvah to read Parshas Zachor on that day specifically. Chazal said that's like when we should do it. They said we should do it because it's near Purim and Haman is from Amalek, so it's a good time to go do it. But your mitzvah is to go and remember it. So in theory,
when does that date?
When does that date?
Like,
so it ends up being like between the 9th and the
13th. No, 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 no. Like, is that actually Chazal or did not actually start? Like, so, the Rosh is like well past that.
Yeah, yeah. So the Rosh is well past that. The Mishnayos already talk about the Parshios, so it could be that that was, I think the Mishnayos talk about Parshas Zachor. I have to go look that up. The Rambam doesn't mention it in his mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah D'oraisa isn't that. I don't remember if he says that they were already doing Zachor in Shul. That's probably something which is a simple Mishnah Gemara or something like that, but I don't know offhand. Yeah.
Well, if you look at the actual Sukkim, there's a serious difference in how the first one we read says out what happened, especially says out the mitzvah itself. If we look at the pasuk from Bamidbar, you're not really getting the sense that that this is any different from any other battle, except from the Shemitah, that it's any different for us than any other battle that Israel fought.
Good.
It's only in Shmos that Hashem is telling us to pay specific attention in the future to this one.
Good, beautiful. So what David's saying is that, if I understood correctly, he's saying Dvarim versus Shmos.
Yeah, okay.
I know what you meant. So in Dvarim it says, you have a mitzvah, do not forget to go and remember the Parsha. Not the Parsha, but what Amalek did. In Shmos, it doesn't say anything about our mitzvah to go and do anything. It just says God's going to fight them, God will wipe them out. I don't think it ever says that.
We should write a sefer for it. Like,
right, you should write a sefer for it. It's a. But that sefer you're supposed to give to Yoshua. So I don't know if that's the same thing as what we're talking about. You're saying you might get the Lo Tishkach that you're going to remember it.
Other way around.
And that's because, I mean, you're just not saying those words?
Yeah.
Okay, that could be. I hear. So I'll tell you, the Magen Avraham says, yeah, why not? The Magen Avraham says, this is, you're supposed to remember Amalek, we're remembering Amalek, this is exactly what they did. Sounds good. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah are not so sure about this for exactly the reason, I think it's exactly the reason that David, you mentioned. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, I just gave it to you because he's a little bit easier to read. He says at the beginning, the Yeshmi Shomer Diyotzin Minat Torah Gam Bekriya De Purim. The Parshas Vayavo Amalek, some people, the Magen Avraham, says that you can be Yotze with the Kriya, which we do on Purim. And he says, well, Anias Daiti Eino Kein. But if you ask me, in my my humble opinion, I don't think that's true. Sharei HaRambam B'Sefer HaMitzvos Be'asin Kuf Peches Kosov Shetzivanu L'Achriser Amalek. So he quotes the Rambam, and then he says, V'Mitzvah Kuf Peches Kosov Shetzivanu Lizkor Masha Asalanu Amalek Ayin Sham V'Zen Yizkar Rak B'Parsha Zachor. The fact that we're supposed to remember what they did is only mentioned in Parsha Zachor. Zachor, that we're supposed to remember, is Asher Asalach Amalek V'Abaniach Timche etc. Aval B'Vayavo Amalek, in the Parsha in B'Shalach, it doesn't say that you're supposed to remember anything. It doesn't mention that you're supposed to go and wipe them out. It just says that God's going to wipe them out. The way the Mishnah Berurah just says it, I haven't seen a little bit, but I think the way the Mishnah Berurah says it is, it doesn't say that you're supposed to wipe them out. It just says that God's going to fight this battle. So maybe that's not a good proof to this general discussion. So they're not so sure about it. The Aruch HaShulchan and Mishnah Berurah aren't so sure. I think L'maisa, we rely on it if there's a great need, if there's COVID, if there's army. So we say, here are the Purim reading and you're good to go. But this is a fundamental machlokas. Is the goal just to hear what Amalek did to us? Or is the goal to remind ourselves specifically to go and wipe them out actively? Yeah.
It might be a little bit of an aside, but that actually might be part of the reason why we read the one from the Bar on Purim as opposed to the one in the Bar, because on Purim, you get a lot more of the sense that Hashem is the one dealing directly with Amalek. From the back, Hashem's overall presence.
That's interesting.
He's the one leading us toward this.
I like that idea.
We're not actually the one.
That's very good. So just for the recorder, so David's saying that the reason we read the one from Shmos is because there we're saying that God's going to fight the battle, and that's kind of what happens on Purim. Really, Hashem's behind the scenes the whole time, when, rather than us playing, the active party. Okay, I like that. Fine. Next question, somewhat relevant to many of the people in this room. are women chayavos in Parshas Zachor? I assume the minhag here is that women go and hear Parshas Zachor?
Why wouldn't they be?
Oh, why wouldn't they be? Who wants to tell me? Why wouldn't they be chayav in Parshas Zachor?
In theory, it sounds at first glance like mitzvah seishas mamra.
Why is that?
Because on the face of it, it's something you were doing once a year. It's mitzvah seishas mamra.
It's not considered
mitzvah
seishas mamra, is it?
So good question. Meaning, let's spell out the possibilities here, right? Why would you say it's a mitzvah seishas mamra? I just supposed to do it once a year, right before Purim, the Shabbos right before Purim.
But there's so many other times you can do it.
Right. So that's the response. That this isn't a mitzvah seishas mamra. You have a mitzvah to do this any point. Just make sure you don't forget. Any time during the year, find a time to do it. So that's actually not the reason why anyone says that women are pturis. Okay, so Shani could have written the Sefer HaChinuch, because that's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. So the Sefer HaChinuch says exactly this point. He says, "Minoheges mitzvah zu b'chol makom b'chol zman." Says this mitzvah of hearing Parshas Zachor applies all the time in every place, or every place in all times. B'zicharim, specifically for men, only men have to hear Parshas Zachor. Ki lahem la'asos ha'milchama u'nekamas ha'oyev. Because the mitzvah of fighting in war only applies to men to go and fight those wars and to get revenge from the enemy. Lo l'nashim. So Sefer HaChinuch just says, the whole goal of Parshas Zachor is to remind us to go and fight Amalek. You know, exactly who Amalek is nowadays is, again, I guess another question, which I'll hold off on. We don't know who Amalek is, but I think Reb Chaim was the one who said that anyone who tries to wipe out the Jewish people then gets the halacha of Amalek. Whether he meant that literally or figuratively is a whole discussion. But okay, so the whole goal is to go and spur us to go and fight. So if only men are chayav to fight, so why should women have to go and do anything? So Minchas Chinuch is very bothered by that. Yeah?
Because even if women are going out to fight, we need to know why everybody's going out to fight. Why is there a war going on? Why are they threatened? Why are they going alone, etc., etc.? However you want to frame it. It's not like women don't need to understand why this is happening.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're saying even if women aren't fighting, so it would be very confusing if they didn't know why all the men were...
Confusing is the word I would use, but they have just as much need for the motivation, for understanding the motivation, as the men were fighting do.
I mean, do you think you get a lot of motivation here?
that's another question that I'm not even going to touch in the textbook poll, but apparently that's the point.
Definitely not touching that 10-foot pole question. Holding off on that one. Okay, so I would say it's not crazy, at least, to say that if women aren't chayavos to fight, so that they shouldn't have a mitzvah of Parshas Zachor.
Probably can't listen to it. But I know people that specifically come to
show.
Right. It's the one time of
the
year, like, where a lot of women will show up to show here.
Right, it's a mitzvah. Maybe it's just like every other mitzvah. It's interesting. It's not even because of mitzvah Zachor Shas Mangrama. It just means you're not chayav because there's no direct reason why you should, but maybe you get a mitzvah anyways, just like by mitzvah Zaseh Shas Mangram. That seems to be what the Sefer HaChinuch says.
What about the positive aspect of it? Is it, like, because there's both the positive side of it and the negative side of it, so does that part of it make women complicated?
Meaning, it could, you're asking the negative aspect not to forget it, so maybe that should obligate women. So I guess you could just answer, you're not supposed to forget because you're supposed to go and fight. So that might be how he'd respond. Yeah.
I mean, it's a separate mitzvah from fighting.
There you go. So
it's unrelated.
Right. So good. So Shani could have written the Minchas Chinuch too. That's incredible. So this is a separate mitzvah. There's one mitzvah of wiping out Amalek, and there's another mitzvah of remembering what they did to us. So how do you know that you can... just connect those two and say, oh, this one is definitely for that reason. And therefore, if you're not chayav in this mitzvah, so you're not chayav in this one. So let's just read the Minchas Chinuch. He has two points. The first one's a technical point. He says, believe it or not, the Minchas Chinuch is always written in very, very many acronyms. So I did expand a bunch of them, but there are still many acronyms left over here. Umashikasav ki lahem la'asos ha'milchama v'lo l'nashim. So says the Minchas Chinuch, first of all, the Sefer HaChinuch said that only men have a mitzvah to fight the wars, not the women. Be'emes, milchemes mitzvah ha'kol yotzim. He says that's not true. A milchemes mitzvah, when we have a war, a milchemes mitzvah as opposed to a milchemes reshus, a mitzvah which we have, a war which we have a mitzvah to fight. Hakol yotzin afilu kala michu pasuk kimavur b'shas v'rambam perek zayin. You go look in the Gemara and Sota and the Rambam perek zayin. It says women also have to leave from the chuppah and they have to go. It doesn't say that they fight, but it says that they, no, it just doesn't say. It just says afilu kala michu pasuk, even she's in the middle of her wedding, milchemes mitzvah starts, we say, okay, wedding's over, to the battlefield, basically. So what do you mean that women aren't chayavus? So that point the Achronim deal with, they say, no, it doesn't mean that women should leave the chuppah to go and fight. Maybe it means they should leave the battlefield and give moral support or give some mayimu mazon. They should go and supply. You need supply lines. Maybe they're not the fighters specifically. That's the Radvaz says. Okay, there's some technical answer to that question. The second one, though, is what we're right.
Like, so that's,
it's true. So it's a little, they're still involved in the war process, but since the mitzvah is to remember to wipe them out, maybe since they aren't the ones who are actually going to go ahead and, you know, chop off Amalek's heads, so that would still, we can defend the Sefer HaChinuch on that side.
Can we say that, say, like, someone who just got, man who just got married, and we said, like, we don't say that part, but unless you say,
No, wait, he's going to the battlefield. The man who gets married is certainly going to the battlefield.
Isn't that one of the four?
Right, the four people who get to stay back,
right.
All those people who stay back only stay back for a milchemes reshus.
Right.
But a milchemes mitzvah, everyone's going out. Everyone's going out, yeah.
Also, what is the role of figurative? Is saying that being under the chuppah and leaving might be a more figurative way to say anything about husband and wife are separated.
So I do remember someone saying that. Someone very, very late says that. Someone very late, just again for the recording, says it doesn't mean that she goes to war. It means that the chuppah's over because the husband's got to run. There's no reason for her to stay in the chuppah because it's over. It would certainly be very, not disingenuous, but it would be misleading to go and say everyone goes to war afilu kala mechupasa if you really meant that she should just not go home, right? That's not what it sounds like. So you have to, there is... Are there more discussions about this since the state? Certainly. I have not researched those discussions. But there's a lot of talk about women going to war. Right. Fine. We actually talked a little bit about this in our shiurim on Beged Isha and Beged Ish, because maybe having weaponry is a problem of Beged Ish. So go listen to that, which you can't because it was on Shabbos, but that was... That's where those shiurim are. You can find it in an article which was once written. Okay, so the Minchas Chinuch continues though with another issue over here. The Minchas Chinuch then raises the second question we ask: Gam mi amad besod Hashem yisbarach? Who was the one who told him this great secret from Hashem? Imata machmas hanekama, that the reason for this mitzvah is in order to go and get revenge from the enemies. The Efshir Gzeres HaKosev Shenizkor Sinaso Meizetam. Maybe the Gzeres HaKosev, it's just a mitzvah. Remember how evil they were, that we should hate them. For whatever reason, not necessarily that we have to wipe them out, but it just says Zachor Sasher Salah Malik. Remember what they did? Okay. So remember what they did. Who says that means that it necessarily connects to Yanachnu Ein Yodim? We don't know why. Be'efshar Af Bevias Meshichenu Shichari Samalik. He says maybe even after Mashiach comes and we wipe out Amalik, Mikol V'chol, and they're totally gone. V'lo Yazeich Elahem, and there's nothing left of them. Mikol Mokom Azechiria Tomid Mitzvah Sase Liskor V'lo Yishkoch. Maybe they will remain a mitzvah. Always remember them, even if they're wiped out, even if they're no longer a threat. So there's maybe the standalone mitzvah to remember them. So who says that this mitzvah necessarily connects with the mitzvah of wiping them out? Alkein tzarich in depoter nashim mitzvah zaseh zu. Minchas Chinuch says, this Sefer HaChinuch is very surprising. I do not think that women should be pturus. So what do people do? So I know in our communities, women are very, very careful to go and hear Parshas Zachor. That's what I've always seen. I can tell you that's not true in all communities. There's this machlokas basically, the Sefer HaChinuch and the Minchas Chinuch. So what is the accepted psak basically? Is the Minchas Chinuch right or is the Sefer HaChinuch right? Before I get to what the standard psak is, so what's the defense for the Sefer HaChinuch? So we kind of said it already, but Rav Asher says this is really the same machlokas as we had about reading a different parsha. Can I just read a different parsha, which talks about the story without talking about the mitzvah to wipe them out, or not? If you think you can read a different parsha, what you're saying is, I think this mitzvah is just a mitzvah to remember. It's not about necessarily relating to wiping them out. So if you were to be lenient on that question and say that you could, in theory, read Bishalach instead of Kiseitze, so you should be machmir on the shayla and you should say, well, then women should certainly be chayavos because this has nothing to do with remembering to wipe them out. It just remember what they did to us. If, though, you're going to be machmir on that shayla and say, no, you have to specifically wipe them out, you have to read something which reminds you to wipe them out, so then presumably on this shayla you should say, okay, so then maybe it makes sense to be makil, so to speak, and allow women to avoid doing this mitzvah if they wanted to because they aren't the ones who have to go and fight. So what do people do? I'll just tell you, Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes the Chazon Ish as saying women are pturos, Rav Moshe says the same. The minhag, he says, is that women don't go hear Parsha Zachor. So I've never seen that minhag. The Minchas Yitzchak says, no, they're chayiv, and the minhag is that they do hear Parsha Zachor. So you go to different communities, and different communities have, like, as a standard, of course, we hear it, or no, who says that women come and hear it? If anyone's ever been to a community where they don't hear it, I'd love to hear, but that was the surprise for me in the modern Orthodox community. As far as I know, women are careful to go and hear Parsha Zachor. Okay, what time is it? Maybe I'll touch on one more question. So let's zoom out for a second. The Rambam and the Ramban said that the mitzvah is not specifically to hear Parsha Zachor, but it's just to remind ourselves. And even if the actual reading of Parsha Zachor then, you know, isn't necessary, we didn't have to read Parsha Zachor, but by doing it, we fulfill mitzvah saseh midioraisa, it's a good idea. How often do you need to hear it? In theory, I'll just raise it as a question like this. It used to be that the way we'd read Parshios, we had a triannual cycle. So it used to take 3 years to get through the entire Torah. Unclear if during that time we had Parsha Zachor. Were you Yotze if you heard it once every 3 years? Or maybe a different way to put it is, how do we know 1 year? Like, where did 1 year come from that we do it once a year? Where did anyone give us a time for how often we should be doing this? You hear the question a little bit? Like, how do we determine how often should we remember this? Great. Okay, so the Sheish Zechiros. So I don't say the Sheish Zechiros. If you do. Okay, good. So anyone, can I quiz you? What are the Sheish Zechiros? It's the Man.
Yeah, so it's
Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'm repeating for the
program.
Har Sinai.
Amalek.
Putting
Miriam.
You on.
Miriam.
Chet HaEgel and Shabbos. Okay, so six potential mitzvahs I say to remember all the time. One of them is Amalek. You passed the test. Nice job. That's okay if you said it out of order. I didn't notice. So the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam, the reason why some people say it every single day, it's right in the back of davening, I assume. That's where the Sheish Zechiros are, right after the end of Shachris. So the Rambam says that the mitzvah is, I'm just going to jump to the bold because time is short. U'mitzvahs asei lizkor tamid ma'isav harayim ve'arivaso. The mitzvah is to always remember, tamid, what they did wrong to us. So the Sefer Charedim comes along and he says, tamid means tamid. You should constantly remember this. And therefore he says, we should be saying this every single day. And every single day you say it, according to the Rambam, the Charedim says, you are fulfilling a mitzvah asei midioraisa. So that's a really good, like, that's a good source for one of those Sheish Zechiros. I might start Lineder, who knows, doing that. That's a great idea. So the Sefer HaChareidim says exactly that. According to the Rambam, you should be doing it every single day. The Sefer HaChinuch has an extreme opinion the other direction. He says, what about the triannual cycle? So he says, you know, V'daylanu, I'm jumping to the end of 13, V'daylanu bazel liskor ha'inyan pamachas b'shara o'shtei shanim v'shalosh. You do it once, a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is. Just make sure you don't forget. That's what he says. So where did 1 year come from? So the Chasam Sofer and then his Talmud, the Maram Shik, have a very nice idea. We have a minhag to go and put up a matzeva after someone dies after 12 months. Anyone know why we do it at the end of 12 months? So the reason for that minhag is because after 12 months, the Gemaras in Brachos, they don't say it necessarily with regards to a mace, but the Gemara says, I'll just read it in the Maram Shik, Damrim Perik Elo Mitzius, Aveda Mishtakachas B'yod Beis Chodesh. If you lose an object 12 months later, again, people aren't objects, but if you lose an object 12 months later, you forget about the thing that you used to have. V'chein ala meis nigzar gzera, there's a gzera which is actually, it's a chesed, shebesoch yod beis chodesh yishtakeach, that a meis, if someone, Rahman al-Islam, loses someone, so after 12 months, obviously, you don't forget them, but you their memory isn't quite as strong after 12 months. So we specifically put up a matzeiv at the end of 12 months to go and make a statement that we're not going to forget you, despite that naturally, you know, we would if we didn't do any other action. So he says the Maram Shekin, he's following after the Chasam Sof, he says, V'kansiv salanu atar kadosha shalot yishkach. By Parsha Zachor, we have a mitzvah not to forget. Uvivadei tzrichim lizkor pamachas b'chol shana v'shana. So therefore, the whole reason why we do it once a year is because the Gemaras say that it takes a year to forget. The way to not forget is to do it once a year. I'll just end with a fantastic chumrah, which I don't necessarily recommend keeping, but the Maram Shik says, well, what about this year? What's this year? This year is a leap year.
So if we're doing the second, then we go 13 months until we hear it again.
Right. So since last year, it's been 13 months between last Parsha Zachor and this Parsha Zachor. The Matzeva, the Aveda, it's 12 months. It's not like a full year necessarily. Right. So one thing which I didn't talk about, which I should have, is that when you hear it, so you have to make sure you're paying attention to every word, you also have to have kavana. The way you pass in mitzvahs, tzrichos kavana, you need to have intent to fulfill a mitzvah in order to get the mitzvah, certainly by deoraisas. So that's actually a fourth nafkamina, potentially. But you have to have intention, I am fulfilling the mitzvah of Parsha Zachor. So if you didn't do that, and you assume that you need a minion like that rush, so you have a problem because it's been 12 months since last Parsha Zachor. So said the Maharam Shik, a big chiddush, he said, every time Parsha's Kisetze comes along, when you know it's going to be a leap year coming up, tell the Baal Koreh, clap, the Baal Koreh, this Parsha's Kisetze is going to be reading Zachor, he will have everyone in mind to fulfill Parsha Zachor, and everyone should have in mind that also, and that way you won't go, meaning on Parsha's Kisetze they'll read Zachor, and then we'll also read Zachor right now. Sometimes
I'm
going to make it.
I guess then it's more, but
right.
You didn't hear Zachor, not even if you did hear Zachor.
Right, so sometimes they'll do that anyways. Like, it's a good idea if you missed it, you know. We'll try and be motzi you now, this Parsha Kisetze. The reason we're not machmir for that...
Well, maybe 4 years ago, remember, like, right during COVID, before you got Shabbos, people maybe didn't hear...
Right. So during COVID, if people missed, so they...
That 2020.
That makes sense. They're right, there's announcements people, to go in here.
Right, people might have said to just listen to it by the time that Kisetze came out.
Right. Right, for sure. So it also comes up if, let's say, you're in the army, so you miss the whole time, you miss Purim also. Unfortunately, that happens, you know, for sure. So then they should say Kiteze. I'm just going to make one last point, then I'll take questions. So why don't we do this? Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach just says, I don't know, you know, he doesn't go into too much detail about what the reason for why it can't be right is, but he says, if you think about it, though, the way we lane Parsha Zachor is we do it the Shabbos before Purim. The Shabbos before Purim does not have a specific date. It could be the 9th of Adar, it could be the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. So he says, according to your Chumrah, if last year we read it on the 9th, and the next year we're going to be reading it on the 10th, the 11th, what? You should go and have to make this whole announcement. He says, we've never heard of any such Chumrah, and if you were right, so then Klal Yisrael should have been doing this for a very long time. He says, it's not right, and he goes into why maybe that's the case, but maybe we'll end it over there, and we will open it up for questions.